Yeah. Let's take them back. Coming up, I was confused. My mommy kissing the girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer. Ray Brewer expected to join us in a little bit here to break down the 1-0 start for your UNLV football Rebels. We'll talk a little bit about UNLV basketball getting a late addition with freshman Troy Baxter Jr., a player eligible immediately, uses up that last scholarship for Coach Marvin Menzies. But first, it is the gridiron. We all basked in the opening weekend of college football. Case, you watched the final game last night over at my house. Unfortunately, the right side was not there for you. I think, anyway, final margin, Florida State covered, correct?
Florida State did cover, and I was really kicking myself because at halftime, I told everyone that was sitting there watching it, Florida State's going to win this game. I should have left your – I don't have any of my phone apps set up. I should have left your house right then and drove over to Palace Station across the street.
That's the closest one. You could have
gotten
middle, there quick.
But Ole Miss plus six, a loser. But UNLV minus 40 or whatever they closed, not a loser.
Yeah, as you pointed out on Twitter, so the four of us, so Case, Ray, myself, and Jesse Granger are all going to have – score predictions for UNLV games throughout the year, and I posted those to Twitter this weekend. As soon as we realized that all four of us had UNLV covering the 40, you knew that the other side was the one to bet. And there was really no doubt from the start of the game. UNLV scores two touchdowns in the first 2 minutes. They scored touchdowns on their first six drives of the game. Just, you know, Jackson State, no chance. It played out exactly as it should for UNLV. And I guess the one downside of that is, you know, I'm not sure how much we learned, I guess, about UNLV football.
Yeah, not really much at all. I mean, I guess the only thing you can say is kind of a rehashing what we said last week in this room was just that, you know, it wasn't that long ago, or even a team this bad, you didn't feel confident UNLV going in against. And, you know, I guess it does seem like a small step for the program that if next year they're playing a team like Jackson State, I don't know, not having that much familiarity with the schedule, you're going to feel pretty good because, I mean, this team is taking care of business under Tony Sanchez when they've had a kind of an overmatched opponent like this, and we've seen it again. But I agree with you. Other than that, it's hard to get much out of it. I guess you like Devontae Boyd scores three out of the four times he touches the football.
Leads the nation in touchdown receptions.
That's so true. That yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there were some good things, but I don't know that the opponent really taught us very much. And the problem is we could be saying this exact same thing next week from the other extreme because UCLA, even though they lost, looked extremely good at Texas A&M.
Yeah, this weekend at the Rose Bowl, Saturday, 5 p.m. kick for UNLV at UCLA. Bruins were, what, number 16 in the preseason poll? Right around there. They're currently just outside of it after losing in overtime to Texas A&M, a game that you and I both watched. I came away, I guess it sounds like we're about the same, came away pretty impressed with UCLA. Obviously, you know, losing, disappointing, and they had long stretches without the offense really being able to get much going. But then in, you know, at the start of the game and then when they really needed it, Josh Rosen and company just moved kind of wherever they wanted on the field. What were some of your main takeaways from what UCLA looks like?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was just kind of a coin flip game. Even though Texas A&M led for most of the second half, UCLA turned it on the fourth quarter. The fact they dropped out of the rankings, I hadn't looked at that, but that's ridiculous. This is a top 25 team. I think I favored them to win their division at the beginning of the year. I still do. The one weakness they might kind of have is I know like all of Rosen's targets are gone. There's a big turnover in like the receiving core, and it really did seem like the receivers were kind of green. I think Josh Rosen had three interceptions, and two of them maybe weren't his fault. So maybe UNLV could have a little bit of a reprieve there since we're still a little worried about its pass defense. But, I mean, this is still a good team from top to bottom. They're strong defensively. And obviously Josh Rosen, I think the hype is real. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. So it'll be interesting. I think UCLA definitely still has a major, major talent advantage.
Yeah, I think A&M was one of your bet-on teams before the year, too. So certainly not not surprising you there that UCLA loses. But yeah, if you have a concern for UNLV coming out of their first game, it's on the defensive side, not getting a whole lot of a pass rush and defensive backs. To me, the problem, I mean, missed tackles, I think that happens in early weeks, so it's a problem, but it's a very correctable one. A lot of the defensive backs just lost one-on-one battles, and they were in the right position, kind of all those things, and just got outmanned for the ball. And so that's a little bit of a concern as you head into a UCLA attack that's just going to, I mean, try and throw all over against them. Josh Rosen played deep into the game last year. It was a 37-3 victory for UCLA. UNLV's defense was, you know, okay in the first half, and then it just kind of fell apart. I mean, it was a game where they never had a real chance to win it. So I guess let's start there. Is, you know, Tony Sanchez, I went to the press conference earlier today, obviously he's talking about we're going there to win a game, not any moral victories, and that's all well and good. That's, you know, kind of how their mentality should be, but that's certainly not how we, looking at it with a 27-point, you know, UCLA is favored by 27 points. That's not how we're going to look at it. So do we start with, if they're still in the game in the third quarter, it's a step in the right direction? How do you, I guess, try and judge a game that if UCLA completely blows them out, you know, you can't be too shocked? And we also, like you mentioned earlier, that doesn't necessarily condemn UNLV.
Right, yeah, I wish I would have looked at last year's game a little bit closer. It seems like you remember it a little better than me, but it felt like UCLA was in control the whole time, even if they started a little slow. So I think even an improvement on that, I think if you're in the game in the third quarter, I definitely would say that's passable. Use your example, but just, you know, maybe if you score in the first quarter or stop them a couple times, or at least if it has that feeling of like maybe a little bit tension in Los Angeles from the home crowd. I think even just that little of a thing, I think, would show a little bit of improvement. And, you know, who knows where the scoreboard ends up. But if you can hang with them tough for a little bit, I think that's a passable effort from the Rebels.
And we kind of led off by saying that we didn't learn anything about UNLV. But I guess I do, after all of the struggles through the summer and through, you know, last spring at the quarterback battle, Johnny Stanton, you can't really ask any more out of the first game. You know, we saw a little bit of the run option. You know, he had a couple nice runs, and the second touchdown was set up by something I think they should be doing a whole lot, which was basically a run-pass option. Stanton was off to the right by himself. He didn't throw the ball to Boyd until he was right at the line of scrimmage, made the defender kind of pick between them, and then Boyd uses his athleticism, takes it 10 yards to, you know, a 30-yard touchdown going from right to left. But that threat of running is something that we saw be beneficial for them. Kurt Palandek did not play, banged up shoulder injury with a strained bicep was the word from Tony Sanchez. He is basically an emergency option again this weekend. So Dalton Snead will be the backup. Johnny Stanton, though, the transfer in from Nebraska and from Saddleback College, a California native, going into a second game now against UCLA. So I feel pretty good about what you saw there. The offensive line was great, but again, you know, competition. Jackson State just overmatched from the beginning, and it just makes me, you know, I feel like this is always kind of the problem with non-conference games. It makes me really excited to see what UNLV is going to do against, you know, against Reno, against Wyoming, against Fresno State, against teams that are like more their competition, because I feel like it. I definitely feel they've, you know, significantly improved, and that you're going to see significant benefits. And, you know, I think of the offensive line specifically with that. But against UCLA, UNLV can be a much better team from last year, and it may not matter. And that's just, I guess, a little, when we play this out as like a thought process, that's a little frustrating, because we may get, you know, 3-4 weeks in before you can really have a grasp on what they are. But heading into UCLA, they did everything they could against Jackson State. And it, on paper, and I guess, you know, on the sports books, the line is a little bit smaller than last year. It looks like they have taken steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just using every indicator we can, I mean, that's actually pretty good that they were a 32-point dog at home last year. Now they're going on the road, only 27. So that's actually a pretty big difference, especially when it should go the other way, them being on the road. Also, those other teams you mentioned, how excited you were to see how they match up with them. I think that last week probably even improved it, because it's not like we saw when we were going through the schedule last week and had all these games like, oh, this is probably a toss-up, UNLV's in the same class as this team. I don't think any of those teams, none of them did anything to make me think they were that far above UNLV.
How about your boy Polian?
Oh, yeah, that was, I mean, and he's only one. That's only one example, what they won by, like, a field goal, right?
Yep, 30-27, Reno beat Cal Poly in overtime.
And that might not have even been the most disgraceful performance that I think of a team on UNLV schedules. They play Colorado State this year, right? Colorado State, 44-7 against Colorado, just awful. Fresno State, I think, actually ended up covering, but lost by 30-some at Nebraska. So, Yeah, I mean, I think I think there's signs from excitement for a UNLV fan, and not just because of the way they performed. I think a lot of those toss-up games are looking even better now.
Yeah, so Cal Poly lost 30-27 at Reno. San Diego State took care of business 31-0. Some of the other significant ones. Wyoming, and that was a game, it was delayed, I think, 2 or 3 hours.
Went to like 2 a.m. Yeah, our time.
Because of lightning, and Wyoming ends up with a triple overtime victory against Northern Illinois. That's a huge win for a team that a lot of people pegged as the worst in the league. You know, sort of a multi-team race. I basically stick with Hawaii until proven otherwise, but other people think that Wyoming or Fresno State might be the worst teams in the league this year.
It's gonna look really bad in 2 weeks when that Northern Illinois gives San Diego State that loss to help me in our bet.
What are you
where you have the
about?
San Diego State There's over no, 8.5.
No chance.
Northern Illinois at home.
Yeah, that was a bet that we had proposed on air last week, but didn't finalize until off air. So the turn now, did I get 8.5 or did I get 9?
I gave you 8.5, and we just made it for
like a lunch or something.
Yeah, because okay. 9 was the number. 8.5 you could get the over if it was heavily juiced, so I wasn't giving an even money 8.5, although I guess I did, but just for dinner slash lunch. I will say San Diego State, I mean, they played New Hampshire, so again, can't get much out
didn't
of it,
really
but they did
much.
Shut them out. I don't think New Hampshire did anything, and that's the one way where this could go awry is if San Diego State's defense is as good as it was last year. I really banked on their defense. Just no way they're holding at the same level.
Yeah, Boise State, who you think might go undefeated, won 45-10.
But I hate – okay, point spread-wise, their toughest game is this week going into the season with Washington State coming there.
Yeah.
But Washington State lost to a FCS school that they're to Eastern Washington,
Eastern Washington,
decent,
who's really good. Yeah.
But still, I hate that. I hate now that they're coming in off of an FCS loss. The lines shot up from Boise's only to be a 6-point favorite. Now I think they're 12. I absolutely hate this situation that Boise's in this week. So
poor Boise. Hey,
but 11-1, I'll be okay with.
If you would have been able to bet that game last week, that'd be a hell of a middle.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a huge swing.
Definitely. But yeah, Boise 11-1 at worst. Still, I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, those two, San Diego State and Boise State, I mean, I thought this coming into the year, and after week one, certainly haven't seen anything to convince me otherwise. Those two are on a collision course for the Mountain West title game. I mean, who do you think even could contend?
I mean,
because they do not play each other in the regular season, so Boise State in the Mountain Division, San Diego State in the West, which we talked about yesterday, might be the worst single division in college
in anything.
Football.
I guess the one team you have to mention, just because they're always kind of tricky and tough, although they didn't look good in week one either, is Air Force.
Yeah.
I guess they could technically be in the conversation, but wow, I'm not that impressed. And I can't believe while we're mentioning all the terrible results, we didn't even get around to our favorite San Jose State 45-10 against Tulsa. I mean, yeah, it's bad.
Sharps were
it
all
bad.
Over Tulsa, so you saw that one coming. Nebraska whooped Fresno State 43-10. Hawaii, the game that I was most upset with myself for not betting, because I just forgot how early it kicked off. They were getting 40 at Michigan after having to travel to Australia to lose by 20 to Cal. And they went to the Big House and lost 63-3. It's going to be a very ugly year on the island, but that's okay because they live in Hawaii. Yeah, it's not a good league. Just bottom line, it's not a good league. We knew that last year. We knew or expected that again coming into the year, and you know, haven't seen anything to convince us otherwise. So some of the games coming up this weekend, obviously UNLV is at UCLA, Reno at Notre Dame, who I was very upset that they
the Texas game?
Yeah.
You wanted Notre Dame in
that
game?
Well, no. Sorry, I was thinking – I got confused. There were a lot of – with 2 minutes left – going to crowd shots of fans doing the surrender cobra.
We were talking about that last night.
So BYU, I actually tweeted about it because they thought they had lost with like a minute 45 left and then they come back and win the game. And I had confused that game with Notre Dame, Texas, where I was very much rooting for Texas. And Notre Dame at multiple – like it was that game I think in the second or third quarter where I was like, I'd like Notre Dame to score just to you know make it interesting or something. And 3 minutes later, they had taken the lead. You know, it just happened so quick that they had come back. But that'll be an interesting game for Reno bouncing off of that disappointing game. Utah State's at USC. Nebraska gets to beat up on another Mountain West foe with Wyoming coming to town. And then San Jose State, they're playing Portland State, so they should at least get a win this time around.
I think Portland State beat Washington State last year, though.
Yes, they did.
Let's just gang up on Washington State today.
They absolutely did. Ray Brewer, very busy man, jumping in to join us. Just quickly, you were in the press box with me, saw the Jackson State game. Case and I kind of talking. There's not too much to take away here, but we saw Stanton, we saw Boyd do his thing, saw some of the defense. What were kind of your main thoughts or takeaways coming out of that game?
Well, again, I'm sure you guys probably said this, but when you play a team as bad as Jackson State was, it's tough to get a good assessment. But in terms of confidence, you know, Stanton was, I think, 10 of 12, clearly feeling better than he did when he was in a competition that he couldn't pull away from Kurt Palandek. I love the Charles Williams kid at running back. He led the team in rushing. You know, any win's a good win, but I think this one was a team they thoroughly put away as they were expected to. So even though the opponent was weak, I think you see kind of the strides UNLV's made from year one to year two. The players look, you know, bigger. In terms of concerns, I was concerned that they gave up that early touchdown drive. Jackson State, I mean, their quarterback was disgustingly bad. And there's no way you should have let that team drive on you. But the test is Saturday at UCLA. They were thoroughly beaten last year by UCLA. They're going on the road into SoCal Saturday night, Pac-10 opponent, four touchdown underdog. Let's see how good this team is.
Pac-12, they added a couple of teams.
They did. And the one other thing, I love how they've really – Devontae Boyd is the franchise, and they've used kid gloves with him all spring, all summer. Didn't play in the second half after scoring three touchdowns. He's a guy that I think is going to be able to step on the field and be as good as anybody he lines up against. And if they could somehow get him the ball, I think they got a chance. And I think they may be able to run it on a lot of teams this year.
37-3 loss last year. I guess what are you hoping to see? What do you think we're going to see? Any chance we get Ray Brewer proclaiming a UNLV victory here?
Well, I do remember, I think it was in 07 or 08, UNLV went into Tempe, beat Arizona State.
That was that Philip Payne catch.
Philip Payne catch. Arizona State was ranked in the teens, top half of the Pac-10 then, now Pac-12. And UNLV pulled one out. You know, that's, of course, once in a generation type of win. But to UNLV's credit, UCLA had a tough game with Texas A&M. Maybe there's a hangover. Texas A&M last year beat the heck out of Reno, if you remember. And then UNLV came in the next week and beat Reno. So maybe A&M does us a favor again, baby. Go Rebs!
So do you want to get any quick parting shots in on Case 1 week after proclaiming Brian Polian to – you didn't call him great, but said not terrible –
I'm still taking Reno in that game as of right now against UNLV. I said he gets good at the end of the year.
Go overtime against Cal
Roll
Poly.
Back the
that?
Tapes. I
you
said they're good that? At the end of the year.
True. Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts, though. Same line, Reno at Notre Dame. What's closer, UNLV at UCLA or Reno at Notre Dame?
I mean, Notre Dame also went through a tough game.
Short week for them, too.
Yeah, so nearly identical scenarios.
I'm looking for an answer. So I'm not looking for this dance around.
What do you mean?
I got my answer, and I'll tell you what it is.
You want me to, let me think about it. I still think the Rebels are in a better spot than Reno right now. I think the Rebels have lit the fuse, CK, and they're ready to roll.
There's no one more willing to jump into whatever the year's slogan is than Ray Brewer.
Rebels lose by 17. Wolfpack lose by 31.
I actually agree. I think UNLV is going to keep it closer. I think this is a good spot for UNLV. I think they're going to cover, not win. I think they're going to hang tough, like Taylor and I were talking, until the third quarter. And I'd be scared of that Notre Dame offense if I'm my boy Brian Polian.
Yes, without a doubt. You know, hopefully we'll learn more. I do have a feeling that we'll be getting together a week from now, kind of saying, we'll give it another week and kind of see. Because these first two games, you always figured UNLV was going to go 1-1. How they get there is important, but you know how they proceed from there is more important, and specifically with having that week three very winnable trip to Central Michigan could be kind of the swing game for their season. So this game, just don't get hurt, and if it's a blowout, okay, move past it, but you know the positives would be keeping it close, going into the second half with some hope, going into the fourth quarter potentially with some hope, and then you know just kind of seeing how Johnny Stanton progresses, obviously very positive. With the first game not challenged very much by Jackson State's defense. But that's kind of the things that we're looking for in the UCLA game. Wrapping up here, In the Rebel Room, just want to talk about Troy Baxter Jr. quick. UNLV basketball gets a late addition. He was a signee with South Florida, four-star forward, kind of a top 100 sort of kid, one of the best recruits that Marvin Menzies has gotten ever. You know, not at New Mexico State, didn't go after a whole lot of ranked guys this high. And so it's someone who just kind of falls into the lap perfectly. UNLV has an open scholarship. And, it's for this type of situation or a mid-year transfer. So it works out. I would expect that he's going to contend in the front court right away. That's sort of the basic scouting report, similar to Derek Jones Jr. coming in last year. Great athlete, known for his dunking. Obviously, defense and, kind of working within the offense are the things you look for him to grow with. But he's an athlete that you can plug in there, 6'7", 6'8", around there, about, 185 to 200 pounds in that range. And front court is where they needed more help, and I think also it's positive setting kind of the foundation here. I think Coach Marvin Menzies and his staff did a pretty good job of building a balanced roster considering the circumstances, but this is now five true freshmen that can kind of be the groundwork laid in. And obviously, when you got to throw a roster together the way that they did, it's not all going to pan out. Some of these guys aren't going to be playing here, and I don't mean just the seniors. Some of these guys aren't going to be playing here a year or two down the road. That's just the way it's going to go. And so you're trying to create more volume, and this certainly is a kid who seems on the upper echelon of the talent they have on the roster. So it's a positive as school begins, a positive for UNLV football as they begin their season, and an historic trip to the Rose Bowl. Last year it was the Big House for a money game. This year they return the home and home with UCLA. Coach Tony Sanchez kind of talked about this being, it's an advantage not only because you're playing at a big place that everybody knows about growing up, but they recruit Southern California. Like, this should matter, and that's where a good performance, I think, can help open some eyes for some of the kids where they may be even going against the UCLAs of the world trying to convince them to come to Las Vegas. So, intriguing game this weekend. It shouldn't be an end-all, be-all by any means for the football team. If they get the doors blown off of them, that's fine. Just pack it up and move on. UCLA is pretty good.
It's an end-all, be-all if they win, though. If they win this game and don't make a bowl, then it just makes no sense.
You're right. It's only an end-all, be-all if they win. Otherwise, they should still be fine, or at least have the opportunity to be.
Good get for Marvin Menzies, too. I hadn't been following that closely, so I was pretty stunned reading about
the profile of this kid. South Florida is just being looked at for possible academic fraud situations. That would be a new one for the NCAA if they're looking into your frogs.
A lot of frogs in South Florida.
Yeah, the assistant coach of Orlando Antigua, his brother, was relieved of duties over the summer as the investigation goes on. And so it was something where Baxter and his family just didn't want to get mired in it. So got a clean break, released from his letter of intent, and then ended up picking UNLV over UCLA and Arizona State. So, hey, they just beat UCLA in basketball recruiting. Maybe they can go do it on the football field. Probably not, but that's okay. Just go and try hard, guys. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor, and we'll talk to you guys next week.